Hello, and welcome to this week's 4th of July edition of In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair's senior writer. A few months ago, Julie and I had the chance to talk to Jodie Comer, the incredible star of Killing Eve. She plays Villanelle. The season had just started when we talked to her, so we thought now would be a good time to share that interview again, since hopefully at this point we've all had the chance to finish the season. And if you haven't, this long weekend is the perfect chance to enjoy. So we're so excited to have Jodie Comer on today from Killing Eve. We're both huge fans, Julie and I, of the show and of your performance on the show, season two. I've seen the first two episodes. I think, Julie, you've seen the first one from season two.
Yes.
Did you like them?
Oh, my God. Did so I like them? I was, like, so upset that I can't continue to now go on to episode three. I feel like the show is so, I mean, it's like just season one was the same way, obviously, where just it ends and you're, like, immediately needing to know. I feel like they each end on such a cliffhanger moment, kind of, you know?
Yeah, they're very clever in the way that they plan that out, but that's good. That's a good sign.
Have you seen all the episodes of season two, or when do you watch yourself? I know actresses that have different feelings about this.
I do. Yep. I do. Purely because I do think it is helpful sometimes to, because I think you can pick up habits that are more Jodie habits than character habits. So it's good to just see it and also look at everyone else's work. You know, when you're doing your own scenes, you don't get to see
what's going on in the show and the
rest of the
plot
cast
lines.
Are doing. Yeah. So I do for that reason, but I would watch it on my own, you know, through my fingers. But yeah. I've seen the first four episodes so far. Yeah, first four.
Oh, wow. So you still have a few episodes to see as well.
I'm like, I email them every day like, hello, do we have five and six yet? But yeah, they're still
Are your family and friends just constantly trying to get like information from you about like what's going to be happening or what like stuff your character is going to get up to? Are people on you or are people good about waiting to see it themselves?
Yeah, no, they're good at waiting. It's kind of the opposite. They're like, don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. La, 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 la.
Oh, they don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah. Especially my dad, because I say to my dad, you know, I've got the scripts there if you want to read them, and he's like no, I'll wait till it comes out. So yeah, people are generally very well behaved.
I'm curious though, if considering what Villanelle gets up to on the show, do your family and friends, is it ever like shocking for them to see the stuff your character is doing? Are they like, I mean, it must be kind of, to see you killing people, doing the stuff that obviously you get up to, it must be kind of interesting for people to know you, right?
I remember my friends at school were always like, why do you always play these people? Like, it's never like a straight-laced person. There's always something kind of crazy or weird going on. Yeah, and I think there are definite moments where my dad just gives me a look across the living room and he's like, where does this come from? But they really enjoy it, you know, especially because I think Villanelle is kind of so standout in her own way of just who she is, and the show itself, you know, like you say, is so unique. It allows people to just really have so much fun and enjoy it and just kind of, yeah, just enjoy it.
Are people who meet you for the first time scared of you because your character is frightening and it's surprising to talk to you? I understand how acting works, obviously, but you're so sweet.
Some people are a little bit cautious, but then, I mean, I like to think that the majority of the world can make the separation of TV and real life, although some people
clearly
don't. So people sometimes I will just notice that someone's maybe giving me like a look across the room as if to say, is it her? But yeah, I think mostly people can make the separation.
Just to channel that sort of like psychopath on set, how do you get there? Is there music? Do you have like a spiritual like guide, or like how do you find that channel?
I wish I did have a spiritual guide. How can I get one of them? Can you buy one of them?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's tricky because with each day is a completely different experience. Like, kind of accessing certain emotions sometimes comes very easily and can be quite surprising. You know, you're like, whoa, where did I get that from? Like, where is that kind of sitting within myself? And then other days it's a lot more difficult. I try to leave a lot to the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I have my ideas and my instincts about how I want to play things. I know my lines, but I definitely do enjoy the experience of working with a director and them maybe having a different thought or something that's totally different to the way I've interpreted it. But I feel like I get to express so much through her, you know, of my own emotion that it's quite cathartic in a way.
I wish I had something like that, I feel like, to channel daily stresses.
Yeah, it's like some days when we've done the prison stuff, like when she's like, take me to the hall. Oh, I remember doing it and just screaming off the top of my lungs. And I was like, yes, like it just felt so good to, you know, you get to do things that in the normal world people would stare at you for and judge you for.
Well, Eve and Villanelle's relationship is so amazing to watch. It's unlike any relationship, especially between amazing, complex females I've seen on television. Mm. How was it pitched to you by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who created the series? And also, follow up, what is your and Sandra's relationship like?
In answer to your first question in how the show was pitched, I actually cannot remember. It feels like a lifetime ago. But I remember getting the email through for Killing Eve, and I seen Phoebe's name, and I immediately got excited because I loved Fleabag so much. But then I read Russian Assassin, and I thought, oh God. Like, my immediate reaction was kind of, I deflated a little bit because I was like, oh, I'm not, you know, this, you know, sexy cat-like. I was thinking, how much nudity is there going to be? You know, she's going to be in 6-inch heels for the whole series. Like, and then her was this character who was practical, she was funny, she was witty, she was awful, but she was relatable. There was humanity in her. And I immediately was like, this is a bold, fresh take on, you know, a female assassin, that particular genre. So I can't remember how it was pitched, but I remember that's what I immediately was drawn to. And Sandra's fantastic. I mean, the moment I met her for my second audition in LA. I flew out for one day. I was on holiday with a friend and I got a call to say that I had to go to LA to read with Sandra. And we did the scene from episode 5 where they meet for the first time. And she got all the props. So there was like cutlery plates, like there was like a pie for me to eat. And
oh my God.
Yeah, and that's very rare. Like, I've never had that experience before of Sandra really, really cares about the work. And I know that she would have gave that attention and care to every actress that went in the room that day. So we just got on immediately. I mean, it was very evident from the audition that we had chemistry and there was a trust there, especially for just knowing someone for, you know, for the first 5 minutes. And that just continued, you know, throughout filming, even though we didn't spend an awful lot of time together because our characters were separated so much. It's just something that has continued to get stronger. It's nice to have someone, you know, around you like her.
Had you seen her work in Grey's Anatomy and all this kind of things she had done before meeting her? Or?
I hadn't. Which I was glad of, actually, when I met her, because I'd heard so much about her, knew how much she was loved, and my friend Liv, she had, and she was like, "What? You've never seen it? Like,
Christina,
this is crazy!" Yeah. But I was kind of glad because I went in the room with no expectation, Sandra hadn't seen anything I'd done, like naturally, because I hadn't, you know, I was still kind of starting out, so it was kind of like we just came to it with, you know, like a blank canvas kind of thing, And Sandra knows I haven't watched it, and she was like, girl, save it for a day when you, like, break your leg and you're in bed for, like, 6 months. You know, like, save it for a rainy day. And I was like, okay, perfect.
The show's so gorgeously shot. I love the locations, even the opening credits, the writing, the acting. Everything's beautiful.
But there are definitely of that, yeah, like when they show you where the cities are. Yeah.
But your character jolts me out of it occasionally, all the beauty, with these grisly murders. Like that eye stabbing. I'm curious for you, what was the most difficult cringy to film? Which of your
cringy
murders?
Oh my God, nothing's cringy. I like revel in it so much.
I love that. I would not be like that at all. Like, I get so like
no worried, like kill days on set are the best days. It's like,
oh my God.
Yeah. Purely because as well, I think what, you know, Phoebe and now Emerald has really captured is that it's never, you know, I think Villanelle views herself as an artist in that way. It's so thought out and, you know, so meticulously, and nothing is ever as it is expected. So it's always surprising. And one that was funny, and I guess it wasn't cringe, well, I guess it could be, was the hot medica, where she clamps the guy's private parts. Because that was outrageous. And I remember getting on the script and I was like, oh my God, Phoebe's really playing with us here. So just those kind of absurd, you know, those kind of absurd moments are just so brilliant. My favorite kill is Bill's. It was the one kill that I watched and I was like, Villanelle, you shouldn't have done that.
I remember being so shocked when that happened.
Yeah,
right.
I just like, because I thought he was going to be like a main character in in the season, and like maybe there was going to be a romance with him and Eve or something. I don't know. And then all of a sudden he's just
he's gone. Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, wait.
I know. There was a couple of characters that that happened to in season one, and then by the end of season one, we were like, why are we killing off all the great people, all the wonderful actors? But you're right, it creates an excitement about the show, and because you just don't know
if anyone's safe.
Yeah.
Do you also, one of the things that I feel like has gotten attention and is so fun is Villanelle's fashion.
Yeah.
Obviously, the pink dress was like an iconic look. Mm-hmm. I feel like I saw, was it the Oscars maybe, where everyone was wearing the pink dresses and they were like showing it next to.
Yeah.
What outfit would you say is your, do you have like one that's your favorite that just like you wore and you were just like, this is everything for me
from
right
season
now?
One.
Or if you can tease anything from season two without giving anything away, if it's from either season, yeah.
Well, there's a, from season one, it's the, again, sorry, Bill, it's the suit that I killed Bill in.
Wow.
This was a Dries Van Noten suit, and it was like, it kind of looked like a, it didn't look like a jigsaw puzzle, but it kind of did. But I just felt so comfortable in it, and she wore it with like Doc Marten boots, and there was something about being in Berlin and
wearing this cool suit.
Yeah, I think as well, by that part of the show, I felt like I was really finding her, and I just felt really comfortable in that. In season two, there was a questionable outfit in episode two, actually. Oh, no, episode one. Episode one. Villanelle is extremely ill and finds herself in a hospital in Paris, and she befriends a young boy who was in the bed next to her. And he lends her some pajamas. And then these pajamas then become heavily featured within the first.
They're wild, awesome. Having seen the episode.
Yeah, I mean, I seen the fabric when they showed me the fabric for them. And I was like, they were like, yeah, so this boy is 10 years old and you're going to be wearing them. And I was like, great. This outfit is going to be very unforgiving.
By the time this airs, I think the first episode will have aired, so we can also tease the Crocs moment, which was so funny to me. How did that come about? Was that in the script?
It was in the script, yeah. That was Emerald. And what I love about it is it's so relatable. You know what I mean? It's like everyone's slightly terrified of Crocs.
I don't think I've ever... Have you, Julie? I don't think I've ever worn Crocs. Am I out? Definitely not in public.
No.
Not in private either, actually. I don't know why I said it that way. Had you ever...
You just busted yourself.
Right.
Yeah, that was definitely a tell there. I did not mean to reveal that on air. So now it's out there in the world, and there's nothing I can do to take it back. In the comfort of my home, it's all Crocs for me.
Yeah. Well, what I loved about it, because then there became this whole conversation about what Crocs they should be, and I was like, they should definitely have those super annoying like sticker badges that people buy for them, like to customize them.
I hadn't actually seen that until the episode. That's crazy when they have now for my own at home. Yeah.
You need to get on that. And also just the fact of like, of all the things that could anger her or repulse her, it's a pair of Crocs.
Yeah.
You know? It's the little things.
That relationship with that guy in the bed next to her was so interesting to me, too, because it's so quick, the chemistry, I feel like. And then by the end of the episode, you're like, wow, this is like a great friendship. And then she obviously turns on him. What was that like to work with him and work through that? Because I feel like there's always these moments to me of Villanelle being like, you obviously love her and relate to her, even though she's doing these horrible things, and it's such an interesting balance.
Well, that's what we've really tried to explore within the series, because I feel, especially within series two, is because I feel like a lot of viewers, they have moments where they go, oh, I see it, I see this human, this person, and then she does something and they go, oh no, I got it so wrong. So we've really kind of delved into those moments within series two. But what I found fascinating about the relationship that she creates with this boy in the hospital is that it kind of reminded me a little bit of the relationship that she creates with Constantine's daughter.
At the finale of season one.
There is a very childlike quality to Villanelle, and it somehow feels that when, even though she hates children, I feel like when she's around them, she can't help but be seen and understood a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, you're right, you know, she creates this relationship, but then ultimately uses this boy for her own advantage. You know, there's a moment where he's like, you know, I'm in so much pain, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, can you walk? And she's like, great, like, you're going to help me out here. And puts him through agony for her own, you know.
Purposes. Advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think of her as a villain? Or do you think of her, because you play her, do you have to think of her in some sort of more human way?
It's hard because, like, on paper, I hate that saying, but like she should be the villain.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like people find themselves sometimes rooting for her and understanding her decisions, you know. Yeah. Especially if there's something epic that happens in episode one, and you know, it's that you can't help but kind of see why she does it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's that kind of twisted thing that has the audience questioning themselves, but and understanding this person who should black and white be awful, and she is terrible, like, don't get me wrong, but I think there are a lot of redeemable qualities about her, and I think, you know, the audience can have fun through her, and I think you can't help but enjoy her.
Yeah.
Who's been the most surprising person you've learned as a fan of the show?
I had a kind of very surreal experience a couple of days ago. I was in the lobby of a hotel and quite literally bumped into Dame Helen Mirren.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's Julie's like fantasy come true.
That is everything. Yeah. Yes.
She's amazing. Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God.
And she
was like, I know, I feel the exact same. And I was like, no! I didn't say that out loud, but like that's what I was doing inside my brain. Oh my and then God. I skipped to my hotel room. So that was very, very surreal, you know, just to know that someone who you kind of admire and look up to as much as her has seen something. It's like, what? But it just feels like everyone has kind of championed it. There's been so many, truthfully, to kind of remember, but it's fantastic.
Oh my gosh, Dame Helen Mirren, my queen. That's like Beyonce.
Literally, though, I was like, oh my God. I was trying to play it cool. I don't think I did, though.
I'm sure. I feel like it always feels whenever that, it's hard to keep it together.
Yeah.
What did she say exactly? Did she had just seen the show? She was a fan?
Yeah, she was just a fan. And then we just started having like a lift conversation. Oh, we were in the God. Lift for a little bit. Yeah, no, she was just very complimentary. Kind of pinch me moment.
Going into season two, does it feel different because of all the kind of amazing attention the show's gotten and all of that? Like, does it feel different to you somehow now? Is it like now, because I think season one, obviously people were just discovering it and
of
it was
course.
This show. Now it's sort of like out there in this very kind of,
yeah.
It's been the awards, the acclaim. Does it feel different to you?
I think the only difference is that, like, what was wonderful about the first season was that it was a surprise to us all.
Yeah.
You know, like, we, you know, believed in Phoebe and the, you know, the cast and the entire crew, and we knew it was special, but you just don't know how things are going to land, especially with how much content there is now. Whereas now, there is an obvious expectation.
Yeah.
And that can be nerve-wracking. So that I think that is a definite change.
And I know Emerald took over sort of show running for season two. Has that felt different? Has it sort of felt like a continuation? Does it feel different in any way?
It's felt like both, actually.
Yeah.
It's felt different because Emerald is a wonderful writer within her own right, you know, and her and Phoebe are different people,
yeah.
But are actually very good friends and are both extremely naughty and hilariously funny. So although it's different, there has definitely been that continuation of tone, of you know, comedy and darkness. And so there has definitely been a shift, which I think also is a reflection of where the characters are now.
Yeah.
You know, the story has definitely changed. These women are changed, they're altered, and as a result of that, the story is. So, you know, I love what Sandra says. She's like, TV's like a living breathing thing, and it's always changing, and we've definitely, you know, embraced that.
When people like do encounter you on, like, people recognize you or such, what do people usually say? What do people want to, like, are there lines from the show people like want to like scream at you or what?
People sometimes ask me to do the accent, and I'm like, no.
You're like, I'm not gonna on command.
No.
No,
I can't. Or like quite recently I had someone ask for a picture and then ask me to strangle them.
Oh my God.
My publicist was like, no, she's not going to do that.
I don't think that's going to land you in like page six immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a headline waiting to happen. But you know, the enthusiasm is there and you know, you can see that, which is lovely. But everyone's just always kind of telling me how much they've enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did the accents come naturally to you? Is that something you've done your whole acting career, or is it because you flip so there's so many that you're like flipping between? I feel like
accents are always something I've done kind of jokingly with my dad growing up. Like as a kid, I would always do impressions, or if there was an advert on the television, we would always kind of mimic it.
Yeah.
So I think as a result of doing that, I've kind of somehow created like a good ear for it. Some accents are easier than others. Languages are a completely different kettle of fish. Like, I don't speak any languages. When I auditioned, it was, you know, she speaks many languages. And, you know, when someone says that to you in an audition room, it's like if they say, can you ride a horse? You say, absolutely. Yeah, and then you worry about learning to ride a horse
later.
When you've got the role. So I was like, yeah, sure. And then I slowly realized that as I got each episode through, that they weren't lying. And I was like, okay, work starts here.
Wait, so did you have to like learn French, or how did you go about it?
I learned my lines.
You learned what you had.
Yeah, exactly. And I would definitely not be able to remember any of that now. You know, I'd learn the lines in English and then I would learn it phonetically, and that seemed to be the easiest way. Yeah.
Well, on this podcast, we love talking about kind of our pop culture obsessions. I'm curious, what are yours? Are there any TV shows you are obsessed with? Any celebrities you track?
At the minute, I've recently started watching Stranger Things.
Oh.
I'm so behind. I realize that. You're like,
No, I like it.
What are your obsessions? Give me an insight as to what road I should be going down.
We love talking about the British royals, which are you into them at all?
I mean,
no?
I'm a Harry fan.
Yeah.
I'm
Who
a
is
fan
it?
Of Prince.
He's such a
That's what I mean.
Fun guy.
Like he's I'm more of a fan of Harry than everyone collectively.
Have you met I don't know why I assume everyone in Britain would have like met the royals. No, but have you
I know,
met any of them or
I know,
come across
I
any of them? No.
I haven't, unfortunately.
Yeah. At some point soon, I bet you will.
I was literally having this conversation with someone the other day, actually. They were like, if you had met the Queen, I would be so impressed. And I was like, sorry to disappoint. Not yet.
And Emerald's going to be in The Crown, right? Do I have that right?
Yeah, she
yeah,
is. She's playing
Camilla.
Camilla,
right?
Yeah,
I think
yeah, yeah.
so.
Yes.
Julie's our resident Crown expert, but yeah. Have you seen any of that?
I've seen the first series. Yeah, which was incredible.
Yeah.
So good.
I always say Killing Eve when people ask me what show they're
on.
Do you really?
Yeah, I say Killing Eve. I love After Killing Eve, I watched Fleabag because I haven't seen it before. So
Fleabag's
then I got,
incredible.
And there's going to be a series two of that, right?
Yeah, it's actually out in the UK at the minute.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think it's played in the US
No,
yet.
I think it'll probably go out there first, and then it'll probably be on, I think it's on Amazon, is it, over here?
Yes, I think so. Or at least the first season
yeah,
was.
Yeah, it's so brilliant.
And like, I hear her, have you seen her one-woman show?
I'm going on Saturday.
Amazing.
I'm so excited.
Everyone on my Instagram feed is posting the playbill. Like, everyone's trying to get out to see Fleabag.
I feel like we are witnessing, like, the birth of one of the greatest people to ever live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she is a legend.
Working with her, what would you say is, like, what are your take? Like, when people ask you about Phoebe, like, what are your, like, do you have, like, an anecdote or take? Like, what she's about to work with, or, like, what makes her so special?
What I love about Phoebe and I think is so ridiculously attractive about her is that she is so comfortable within herself, in her own skin. At least, she might say different, but to me, there is just a confidence around her that I wish I had, you know? And it's so infectious. Like, when you were around her, if there was a table full of people, it's just like, you know,
magnetic.
every single one of those people around that table wants to sit next to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she does have a lovely energy about her, and you're always guaranteed a lot of laughs when you're in her company. But I think what I learned most about Phoebe, and, you know, being on set with her for like the kind of start of Killing Eve, was especially when approaching Villanelle, was that there is a freedom within Villanelle, and Villanelle doesn't care about what people think. And, you know, I definitely do. And in order to play that, I had to really shed that from myself. And Phoebe really encouraged me to like take risks on set. You know, she was like, okay, we're going to try this. It could be really, really bad. If it is, we will pretend it never happened. However, let's give it a go. And like 9 times out of 10, when you did that and just allowed yourself to like, just to take a risk to do something, you always find something that's a little bit genius and a bit magic. And that's what I took from my experience of working with her, was just to, yeah, just to be a bit
that,
fearless.
Like, freedom,
yeah. And it's hard, you know, especially in, like, this day and age, we're all so kind of, you know, anxiety's through the roof and we're always worried about what everyone is thinking about us. But yeah, I learned that from her.
You speaking about that made me think for some reason about social media and like kind of like when you brought up insecurities, I'm like always feeling like looking at what other people are doing. I know you're on Instagram and such, but do you enjoy all of that stuff? Is that something I know is like when, as your profile gets bigger and bigger, I'm sure you have to think about like what you're posting more and that sort of thing.
Or? I do. And I think it's hard because it's like trying to find a balance of like, I definitely want to keep my private life as private as I can. But then I understand that for, you know, some people, if you're just posting like promos and like, oh, look
like,
at
I
me.
I want to know what she does in her downtime.
Yeah, look at me in a fancy magazine cover. It's like, okay, we get that, but like, who are you?
So
I'm trying to navigate that, you know, while also kind of trying to keep, you know, keep what I want for myself, but then also, you know, engage with people, because the fans, especially for Killing Eve, are the ones who spread the word and, you know, we owe so much to the people who support us and champion us. And so I definitely want to make that relationship. It's just like being cautious of just how
you don't
want
to share. Yeah. It's important to keep, I'm sure, something
for
yourself.
Yeah. But it's fun, I think. Yeah.
Right. How does Villanelle and Eve's relationship continue to evolve in this next season?
Oh, that's a whole thing. What I think is fascinating about the kind of what we've explored between Eve and Villanelle is, you know, we pick up the series 30 seconds from where we left off. I'm stabbed. I have a lot less blood than what I did in episode 8 of season 1. And both women are kind of just reeling from the events of what have just happened. Villanelle is like on a fight for survival. She is very much fearing for her life and needs help, but realizes she's in a lot of trouble and has to get as far away from the situation as she possibly can. And what I think is really interesting is finding out what this action, this stabbing, means to Villanelle. How does that now connect her with Eve? Mm. What relationship has this now formed? You know, does she understand Eve? Does she forgive her? You know, that is what kind of really shapes the relationship between the two of them going forward. And, you know, ultimately these women are forced to be in contact a little bit more. And you know, just this impossible relationship, you know, what is it and can it be? Ultimately is.
It's so interesting to me because you guys don't share that much screen time, but yet it feels like the most like intense dynamic I've like seen on television. And how do you and Sandra work on like, because you don't actually like, you're not together that often. Like, is that something you think about when you're like working on breaking down episodes and things, or does it just happen naturally?
I feel like if anything, it kind of helps.
Mm.
Like, strangely.
Build the tension up or something?
Yeah, because me and Sandra, we get on very well and we spend a lot of time together when we're doing press and, you know, within the filming period because we're working on scripts and everything else. But that absence is also what these characters experience. So it kind of just makes those moments even bigger. You know, the energy is palpable and it's like there is definitely a weight to what we're doing. So it kind of helps that the Yeah, it kind of helps with the tension. We definitely felt that within season one when, you know, they meet for the first time at the dinner table, because I think we'd only shot one scene before that where they briefly meet in the bathroom for like a split second. And when we got to the day, it was like, you know, even the whole crew were like, whoa, this is a big, big moment. So, yeah.
And you feel it in that scene.
Yeah. But, you know, it's great when you work with actors that... It's the same with Kim Bodnia. Like, oh my God, that man. Like, the moment I met him and we did half a scene, we both just kind of looked at each other and there was just a moment that passed where we were like...
This is working.
This is going to be fun. Like, it doesn't happen with everyone and that's okay, but it kind of makes those moments even more special when you meet someone and you're like, yes, like, you just get each other, so... Yeah.
When you were growing up or even now, who are your acting like role models? Do you have people that you always looked up to as actors or actresses that were like, I would love to have, not necessarily like the exact same career or anything, but just like people that you really looked up to when you were a role model?
Julie Walters. Mm. I say this in every interview, but I really mean it. I love her so much because I think she can do anything and she has done everything and she's explored everything. And I think she's so charismatic and...
Do you have a favorite performance of hers, or?
Oh, I'm Educating Rita.
I haven't seen that. I need to get.
Oh my God, it's so beautiful. I love that film so much. Samantha Morton also. I remember when I watched Morven Keller for the first time, and must have been in like, I don't know, maybe 16, 17, and that was the first time I didn't. Something happened to me when I watched that, and I was like, whoa, that is what. That's what I want to do. Like, I hadn't seen acting like what she'd done before, and that really, really inspired me. Mm.
And I know you have, I don't know how much you can say about it, but you're working with Ryan Reynolds on a comedy coming out next year, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that where, you haven't filmed that yet?
No, we're about to start that around May time. Yeah.
Are you excited to do something? I mean, sounds very different from Killing Eve.
Yeah, I am. I really, really am. Especially because I'd never done like a feature film before and I felt so ready to, and the opportunity just never, you know, it just never worked out. But I always believe like it does when the time is right and, you know, for the right reasons and people. And yeah, Sean Levy's directing and Ryan plays a background character within a video game, and he thinks his life is, you know, has this bigger purpose and... comes to the realization that he is, in fact, in a video game. And I meet him through the game as an avatar called Molotov Girl. But in the real world, I'm a girl called Millie. And I actually programmed the game, but I had my code stolen. So it's all about them coming together to fight to save his world and hers, essentially. But it's a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm really
I love that.
I know. Well, that's a really cool concept.
It's super fun.
Have you gotten to meet him yet or talk to him about the project yet? Or what is it?
Yeah, I wrapped on Killing Eve like the 16th of December. And then I flew to New York on the 17th to read with him. And then I flew straight home. And then, found out like a week later, Sean rang me and he was like, hey, want to be in a movie? And I was like, yes, please. It was lovely as well. It's like the energy when I went in that room, you know, it's a long flight to go audition and overthink things. And Sean and Ryan it was a very relaxed, chilled kind of, it felt like a workshop, you know, it was very encouraging and it was a really fun day. So I'm glad it worked out.
Is it going to film in New York or LA? Or
It's going to film in Boston, which I've never been.
Boston, actually.
No way! Mm-hmm. You can give me some tips.
I know, I'll give you some tips. Yeah. It's a good. Lots of things are filming in Boston these days.
Really?
Yeah, it's a good... You'll have a great time there.
Yeah, I'm there for a little while, so...
Yeah, you'll figure it out. It's nice because it's sort of like New York, but a little
bit... Everyone says a little bit smaller.
Scale. Yeah, a little more manageable.
More doable,
actually.
Yeah.
A little neighborhoody, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll send you some good like brunch spots
food,
or something.
Yeah, food. I'm all about the food.
Yeah. And like, it won't be, if it's in the summer, it won't be, it's bad in the winter, but
yeah,
well,
that was
the
first thing everyone was, when I said I'm going to Boston, they were like, oh, what month? And then I was like, June, they're like, oh, you'll be fine.
Yeah, it's very, I barely want to go home to visit my parents in the winter. It's like so
really?
Cold. Yeah.
But oh gosh.
It makes New York seem like Miami or something. But then, but now, you'll be great in the summer. Though it's going to be hot. It can get.
I know, well, this is the thing. I don't, I, I'm British, so I like to moan about the weather a lot. Like, if it's too hot, I'm like, if it's too cold, I'm moaning then as well.
Yeah.
It's got to be just right.
So it sounds like that is, like, a huge to be in your first feature film. Do you have other sort of, like, act, like, dream sort of role or things that you just really would love to do someday, whether it be, like, directors you'd want to work with or just kind of, like, things you'd want to approach?
My dream role... We were actually singing a lot of musical songs on the way here in the car.
Doing a musical.
I'd love to play Nancy and Oliver.
Ooh.
That's like my dream.
Are you, do you have a singing background?
I'm not bad.
Yeah, I'm sure you're amazing.
Beyonce,
I'm going to go on a limb and say I'm sure you're great.
I mean, especially, you know, they can edit things in film, can't they? They can help you out. But no, I'd love to play Nancy and Oliver one day. But for me, it's always about... scripts and because I feel like after I finish a project, my, you know, I want to go somewhere else, and it just fluctuates and changes depending, and, you know, I want something to make me feel a certain way, and that's what I try to seek out when I'm, you know, I'd love to do theater as well. My options are open, like,
yeah,
I want to keep my yeah but yeah, just something that, you know, provokes an emotion in me, and I think will hopefully do that to the audience that are watching.
Oh, I can't wait to see you on stage. I'm going to will this into the universe.
Yeah, let's put it out there.
Yeah. Well, Jodi, thank you so much for coming today.
Thank
this was
you.
So fun.
Yes.
We are all so excited about... Everyone needs... If you're listening... Who isn't watching Killing Eve at this point?
They're like living in a cave.
If you haven't gotten to it yet, make sure you catch up. I guess April 7th is the first episode for season 2.
Yes.
And then how many? It's like 8 episodes, right?
Yeah, 8 episodes.
So yeah, and then will there be a season 3? Do we know yet?
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. Okay.
Fingers, toes, eyeballs, legs,
right.
Arms crossed.
I think it's a safe bet. Well, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so fun. That does it for this week's episode of In the Limelight. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please remember to check us out on Apple Podcasts, rate, review, tell your friends, tweet, Instagram, all of that. You can also reach out and leave us a voicemail at 347-790-0966. Also, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at In the Limelight, or individually, I'm Jay Duboff, and Julie is Julie W. Miller. We're also on Instagram at In the Limelight Pod. This episode was edited and produced by Brett Fuchs. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. And until then, no bad energy.